Okay, Jake, we're here in your house. Mm-hmm. This is the house you grew up in.
Right.
Most of your life you spent right here?
My whole life, yeah.
Your whole life you spent right here?
Well, I mean my whole life till I was 17.
And where are you taking me now?
I thought we'd go across, kind of show you some of the farm.
40-year-old Jake Harriman shows me his home place, the small wooden house and farm where he grew up. It's in the Wetzel Settlement, a tiny community on top of a hill in Preston County, West Virginia. The oldest of four children, Jake is tall, blonde, and looks like a football player. When he was growing up, his family was considered poor.
Technically, we did live in poverty when I was growing up. According to the government standard of living on less than $20,000 annually, but I remember growing up, I never really felt like we were poor. I never felt like I wanted for anything. So this is a field much smaller than it was before where we used to plant all our food.
Jake's family raised their own food and hunted for most of their meat. His dad worked several jobs to support the family and built their farmhouse himself. Everybody worked hard, but they had fun too.
There was an old barn down here that my brother and I and our friends used to play in all the time. This hillside used to be just packed full of briars, and so we used to make forts and tunnels in the briars, actually, just like the rabbits, you know, and we used to play war and other stuff in here. You can look across the river, and that's Preston High on the other side of the river there. There's parts of Kingwood you can see. There's a little spring right over this hill here by these trees, and it was kind of like this little magical place that we would go as kids to kind of like dream about big stuff, you know, like what do we want to be when we grow up, you know, where are we going to go. It was a secret. You could always kind of go here and get away and nobody would ever find you. I used to dream big there and try to figure out how I was going to make a difference in the world.
Who would have guessed then that a poor farm boy from rural West Virginia would one day try to tackle, head on, one of the world's biggest problems, extreme poverty. But that's what Jake Harriman, former Marine platoon commander and now social entrepreneur, is trying to do. 6 years ago, he started an organization called Nuru International.
Nuru gave me a loan of maize seed and fertilizer, and I am working harder than ever before. I believe that with Nuru, for the first time, my children will not know a single day of hunger.
Nuru International is an organization that was built to defeat extreme poverty in remote rural areas around the world. So we're trying to build the world's first self-sustainable, self-scalable, integrated development model to fight extreme poverty, the very worst types of poverty globally. I say integrated, it's a four-pronged approach. We attack the needs of hunger, inability to cope with economic shock, preventable disease and death, and lack of quality education for children.
Nuru started in rural Kenya. But unlike most other development organizations, Nuru doesn't give handouts, nor build schools or dig wells.
To mobilize communities and make real change at the grassroots level, you have to focus on leaders who are embedded in the community, who the community already trusts and respects. I think that's one of the true keys to success, whether it's rural Appalachia or, you know, Kenya or Ethiopia or wherever.
Nuru defines extreme poverty not in strict economic terms, but as the lack of meaningful choices for basic human rights. When they go into a new area, they ask the community members themselves what they believe they need to come out of poverty, then listen to their suggestions. They train local leaders in farming, business, and management skills, give them loans to start small businesses, so that the community members are able to pull themselves and their neighbors out of poverty and stay out. It's called bottom-up development.
Before Nuru came, I was harvesting 3 sacks of maize per hectare. Now I'm getting 18. After this harvest, I'll repay my agriculture loan, save some for eating, and sell the rest. With that money, I believe I'll be able to build my own house.
One of the keys to success in this work is you have to focus on the people and you have to unleash the potential that's already located within those trapped in poverty. Help them become part of the solution.
In Swahili, the word Nuru means light or hope. Over the last 7 years, Jay Karaman and his colleagues at NERU have tested this bottom-up approach to ending extreme poverty in the Kuria district of Kenya and in Ethiopia.
We want to open source our model. We want to share it with other organizations and governments and train them how to use it so that we can spread the success of this model and the impact of giving people more and more people choices more quickly.
Their goal is big: to end extreme poverty in remote rural areas in our lifetime. But the man with this big vision started small. From rural Preston County, Jake studied engineering at West Virginia University and later graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy. From there, he spent nearly 8 years as a Marine platoon commander in special operations and was awarded a Bronze Star. In 2003, Jake experienced a day in combat that changed his life forever. On a road in southern Iraq, he saw a man he thought was a terrorist coming toward him, and he was about to kill the man. Then he realized the man was just a poor farmer trying to escape with his family behind American lines. Within 50 yards of Jake, Saddam's forces shot the man's wife and children.
This guy was, beside himself, and for the first time in the war, everything slowed down for me, and I put myself in this guy's shoes. What choices did this guy have when he woke up this morning? He could watch his kids starve to death, strap a bomb to himself, or he could try to make some desperate attempt to cross our lines, So I didn't know what to do. I just let my weapon hang at my side and just started crying with this guy. Then I got really, really angry. And I thought, I never want to see another look in another human being's eyes like this ever again. And I felt like that was the beginning of an awakening in me. And so I thought that maybe I can make even more of an impact on the world and terror myself if I got out and tackle what I believe is the leading contributor to the proliferation of terrorism and insurgency and kind of general global instability, which is extreme poverty.
Harriman left the Marines and spent 18 months studying extreme poverty. He applied and was accepted at the Social Entrepreneurship Program at the Stanford Graduate School of Business, where he recruited 30 of his classmates and 6 faculty members to help him start NERU International. Today, more than 30,000 people who once lived in extreme poverty have had their lives transformed. From the time he was a little boy, Jake had the makings of a leader. Sort of.
I was always bossy. I always bossed my sisters around and had to have my way about everything. I was very domineering. My little brother, we were only 17 months apart. He's my best friend now, and he hated me growing up. One of our neighbors would ask us a question, and I would just answer for him, never give him an opportunity to answer anything. And I think that was tough for my siblings kind of growing up. So my father is one of the most inspiring men that I know. He's one of my heroes. I learned a lot from my dad. There's one story in particular, I think, that just burned in me and stayed with me. I was probably 7 or 8, I think, and my dad and I were building fence. My dad had the sledgehammer, and he was pounding in the locust posts, and I was given the task of holding the posts as he hammered it in. And I remember, he was swinging that hammer really fast and really hard, and I remember just saying, starting almost to cry and say, "Dad, I just can't do this. I can't do this. I'm afraid." And he stopped, sat down on the tailgate of the truck, and he lifted me up and set me next to him, and he said, "Listen, son, I never want to hear those words out of your mouth again. Don't ever say I can't. You can do anything in this world that you want to do. You just have to put your mind to it, and you have to never give up." That stuck with me.
Jake was always somewhat of an overachiever.
Jake's father, Mike Harriman.
One time he burned his report card because he had all A's back in the barn. He certainly didn't want to be identified as a geek. But no matter what happened, he was always doing his best and always was, I think he was valedictorian of his first class here at Preston High School.
When Jake was a kid, he was the leader of all the other kids.
Jake's mother, Jan Harriman.
He was a pioneer. He was extremely compassionate. He's a wonderfully loving child.
I learned a lot from my mom about compassion and mercy and how to really love people. I always had a special place in my heart from a very young age for those who were trapped in poverty, way worse poverty than we lived. And it was because of my mother. She would tell stories about her growing up in school in Albright and the kids that she, you know, was would go to school and not have any food for lunch and, you know, the things that she would do to help them out. And that was always really inspirational for me. My mom taught me a lot as a young kid about faith and about God. I believe that Jesus wants me to love people by loving them in action. And I think he has a special place in his heart for the poor. You know, NURU is not a religious organization. We don't do anything with churches or proselytization. We just have poverty fighting activities and programs. But that is what drives me.
The main thing is he's driven. He's a driven child. He's driven by wanting to serve the Lord in a way that brings glory to him. And he searched and searched and searched for a way. And everything in his life that he's done, we believe, has led him to do what he's doing now.
Folks trapped in poverty are incredibly resourceful, intelligent, and innovative. They find a way. You know, like when you're up against a wall, you find a way. My parents always found a way to get us to school. They found a way to keep food on the table. You know, I mean, and that really inspired me. That perseverance, that can-do attitude, that's something I'm so proud of, you know, in my West Virginia background and upbringing, you know, being able to be attached to a hardworking, dedicated people like that who, though trapped in poverty, are brave, courageous, innovative, resourceful people who never give up.
But what, I wondered, made a poor kid from West Virginia think that he could tackle something so audacious to try to change the world in a way that no one has ever done before?
I love it when you say that, because when people say that, it makes me want to do it even more. People from West Virginia have a spirit that you just can't quench. And the best way to get them to achieve something is tell them they can't do it. If you want to get me angry and you want to get me on fire and run through a brick wall, tell me I can't get to the other side of that brick wall, and I'll do it. Coming out of that culture and having that understanding about how life works really motivated me, you know, growing up. And again, my dad telling me on that fence row, saying, son, you're going to be able to do whatever you want to in this world. And for whatever reason, I believe that. I may fail at what I'm attempting to do. I don't think I will. We're on a very exciting trajectory. I think we're about to have some really groundbreaking success, but I might fail. But if I fail, I don't have to worry about the question, the nagging question, when I'm on my last days, did I ever try? Did I ever try to take on something that no one else has been able to figure out in giving hope and choices to other people? I can answer that question and say, yes, I gave everything I had in my life to try to do that.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jean Snediger.